And I think, Acacia, it looks like you just joined with your telephone. Is that correct?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you crystal clear.
Okay,
So
great.
we'll be really clear. So thanks, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to FF 101. It's called Use Spaces and Places Creatively. And normally I host my calls from the traditional territory of the Kwanlin Dun First Nation and Ton Kwachin Council, but I missed checking in for my connecting flight last night by 6 minutes, so I'm in Vancouver still. So welcome. This learning event explores how we can address local interests and also improve access and inclusion in recreation by using community spaces and places more creatively, and also by connecting people to nature and outdoors. And to be honest, this is one of my favorite learning events, and I'll tell you why in a few minutes, but let's start with a round of introductions. So when we have someone new joining us, I'd like to ask you to introduce yourself this time with your name, your role, or what you're joining us, the community you're joining us from, and the role you play in that community. And then if you could add in your introduction, and I'll pop this in the chat, but also repeat it for those who are on the phone, what is your favorite space, recreation space, or place? And so I'm going to go in the order that I see everybody on my screen, and I'll write that down. So we create this big virtual circle, I guess. So we're going to start with myself, and then Holly, and then Dawn, and then Igor, and then Misha, and then Acacia. Oh, April, and then Acacia, sorry. So as you guys know, I'm Caroline, and my favorite recreation space or place is outdoors on the trails, and I get a whole bunch of trails that are, like, right out my back door. And my son's been telling me that all the snow is melted at home, so I'm pretty excited to get back home and jump on my bike. So that's what I'm looking forward to. So let's go to Holly next, and then to Dawn, and then to Igor. Introduce yourself and your favorite recreation space or place.
Hi, my name's Holly. I'm coming from Fort Liard in the Northwest Territories. I am the rec coordinator for youth sports programming. I think my favorite recreation place would be the gym. I grew up playing soccer. It's just my favorite place to be to play any kind of sports. Yeah, that's both.
It sounds like you like being active, so that's great. Thanks, Holly. Over to you, Dawn, and then we'll go to Igor.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dawn Curry. I am actually, I guess, the former as of the end of March. I was the executive director since its inception 13 years ago with Recreation Parks Association of Nunavut. I lived in Cambridge Bay for 8 years as a rec coordinator in Baker Lake. But I've been working with the North for 33 years, so since 1991. I'm really pleased to be here, and I'm actually going to be in a couple of these LEs, and then I'm going to be joining Caroline as a facilitator, so I'm looking forward to that. And I think my favorite space, it used to be the gym when I was younger and playing sports, but now it's the trails. I used to be a runner, and now I'm old, so I walk. but I love getting outdoors. I am at a spa right now in Eastern Ontario and went and did all the walking trails this morning at 7:30. So that's who I am. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys all.
Thanks, Dawn. Okay, let's go over to Igor and then to Misha.
First of all, warm welcome to Dawn. And second, I would like to say that my name is Igor, and I live in Tulita. And as I mentioned, I just returned from my trip, and now get back to work, excited to work again. And my favorite place is gym, is the gym. And to add to Holly's statement, I was a professional soccer referee for many years in Europe, so I can understand her passion and her commitment to soccer.
Thanks, Igor, and welcome back. Okay, over to Misha, and then April, if it works for you to join us, or if you prefer to pop in the chat, we'll go to you after, Misha.
Yeah, Hey, Don, and welcome back, Igor. Everybody talking about the vacations makes me want to go somewhere, too. My name is Misha Witkoff. I wear two hats. I'm the ED for the Yukon Invasive Species Council, and then I also am the Regional Engagement Coordinator for Climate Reality Canada. So I see different climate projects across northern Canada. And I would say my favorite place is also the trails, because I am a big hiking nut and I also love trail running. So anything outdoors.
Awesome. So we're pretty evenly split right now between gym and trails. So let's see what April's favorite place is. April, did you want to unmute and introduce yourself or pop in the chat? It's up to you.
Hi, everyone. I'm from Ulukhaftok, Northwest Territories. I work with the Hamlet of Ulukhaftok as the recreation coordinator. And my favorite recreation space depends on the season. So I'd say during spring, summers, outdoors, and cold winters is the gym.
Okay, so we're still tied because you said both. So thanks, April. Let's see what Acacia has to say then.
Hi, I'm Acacia. I'm in Whitehorse as the program coordinator at ERA. I think my favorite, I guess it would be a place, would be the lakes near the neighborhoods. Like Long Lake in particular is my favorite here in Whitehorse. I love it because there's lots of opportunities to go kayaking and swimming and hiking in the forest trails. That's my favorite during the summer for sure.
Okay, well, I think that's pretty even across the board, but thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for weighing in on your favorite place or space. So in this learning event, or LE as Dawn referred to it, and I use that in emails, or in FS 101, we're going to look at how we can be more creative with the spaces that we have. And we'll discuss some strategies to improve how we use these. And then next week, we're going to look at the benefits of connecting to nature through recreation. So you might be wondering by now, what do I mean when I talk spaces and places? Because you might hear words like infrastructure or things like that. But really, I like to use those terms because they're a bit broader. And they were introduced on slide 6 and activity number 1. But let me take a couple of minutes just to explain. So in our field of recreation, you might hear terms like infrastructure or facilities, and those usually refer to buildings, structures, or things that are designed and built for recreation, sports, arts, and other public uses. So I like to think of those things that are built as places. And so in your communities, you might have arenas, indoor pools, a greenhouse, or a theater, or a community hall. But as we've heard from our introductions, people also like to recreate in outdoor spaces. And usually these are areas that are designed and built with the intention of encouraging us to recreate outdoors. And so you might have trails, playgrounds, gardens, and parks. And then living in the north, I think the outdoors is important to all of us. And so depending on where you live, you might refer to the outdoors and our natural spaces or nature using words like out on the land, or for us in the Yukon, we tend to use the bush because we got a lot of trees through most of the Yukon. But anybody joining us from Nunavut or Ulahoktok, you're not going to have the bush out there. So you'll probably be referring to nature as the land. So I see nature as including all those undeveloped spaces, whether it's even including water and air, and environments where recreation may or may not take place. So when we jump into next week and look at nature, we're going to be reminded of how important our natural environments are to our physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. So let me see if I can share the slides as we go through the slides. For those of you who can see the screen, I should be able to make it work. If it doesn't work, that means the internet in where I am isn't strong enough. But let's try. So here we go. I'm going to start on slide. We just talked about slide number 6. So I'm going to go to slide number 7. So slide 7 and the next one, slide 8, also remind us of the national and territorial frameworks that set out our priorities for spaces and places. So you might have read on page 11 of the Framework for Recreation in Canada, but it can be difficult sometimes to provide all the recreation facilities that everybody wants in a community. And I'm sure many of you in your communities have heard people asking, saying we want a better year-round pool or a better arena. And really, these can be expensive facilities to build and to maintain. It can be sometimes hard to justify these expenses when you have things like a housing crisis or a health crisis or an opioid crisis in your community. So I think that what we can do in recreation, instead, we can encourage more supportive physical environments like walking and cycling routes, multi-use facilities, and outdoor spaces. Many of our community facilities also need renovations and upgrades to make them more useful and energy efficient. And so by making good use of what we have, we can also sort of free up money to do recreation that's meaningful. On this slide that I'm showing right now, slide 8, you'll see reference to, and hopefully I pronounced it correctly, Nunavut Alujat is Nunavut Sport Physical Activity and Recreation Framework. And it has a whole goal, number 5, that prioritizes the need for community and spaces and places to deliver programs and services. So people are more likely to participate in activities when the public facilities that we have are safe, open regularly, and offer enough equipment for us to play and have fun. Pretty hard to play soccer if you don't have goals or something to blow up your soccer balls. Many of you probably know that it's expensive to build those spaces, especially in Nunavut. And it seems like material, labor, and maintenance costs means that often our programs run out of really old arenas or school gyms, and sometimes buildings that are close to being condemned. So Nunavut's framework encourages communities to be creative and offer arts and cultural activities as part of their recreation program. And the Framework for Recreation in Canada points out that as recreation leaders, we also need to get involved in community planning. And when we get involved, it ensures that plans that are made for our facilities and outdoor spaces consider the recreation needs and interests of our community. So regardless of where you work or volunteer, making sure spaces and places are well used for recreation and physical activity is a priority. I'm going to ask you now, I'm going to come back, I'm going to stop sharing slides. So let's go stop presenting. And as you guys know, when I go around my circle with a question, I never put the same person on the spot twice. So that means Holly's not put on the spot for this to answer this question first. So I'm going to ask you to answer, and maybe we'll put Igor on the spot if Igor's internet's working. So we'll skip. Sometimes I like to skip two people, depending on the size of our circle. So Igor, can you share a local example of how spaces or places are used creatively? Is there something in your community that you would consider as being creative?
Yes, I can say that, for example, last summer when we had issues with smoke and with fires, we converted our arena in the summer, like for children's playground. Then it was a place where elders were gathering in the evenings, and also it was a safe place for those who didn't want to go out and just want to hang out in the arena. So that's one of the examples that I can mention.
That's great. It's nice. It sounds like you've made a really great public, sort of multi-use space out of the arena for the summer. So thanks, Igor. Misha,
yeah,
how about yourself? Do you have any ideas of, and again, when we do these questions, you're welcome to pass if nothing comes to mind. If you prefer to listen, listening is just as important as sharing. So saying I pass, I want to listen is fine too. But Misha, do you have any local examples? April, how about yourself? Do you have any ideas of how you guys creatively use spaces and places in the Ulahoktok?
I think I'm going to pass. I can't really think of anything because I feel like all of them are so creative. You could, yeah.
I know, it's hard when I put you on the spot. That's okay. It's If you or Misha think of something, go ahead and pop it in the chat and we'll share it as we're going around. So if something comes to mind as you're listening to everybody else. Acacia, how about yourself? Whitehorse has some pretty great examples of creative use of spaces and places. Can you think of one that you'd like to share?
Yeah, just so you know, I can't seem to join on my computer at all. I can only hear. So,
that's okay.
But I did look at the slides already, so I know a bit what you're talking about. But the Shipyards Park was the thing that kind of came to mind for me in Whitehorse along the waterfront. I know that they did some renovations with like kind of a safer play space for little kids. There's like a squishy ground for, you know, little kids who are falling or whatever. They don't get as injured. So it was a really interesting creative use of that space. And I think there's also like something for everybody at Shipyards Park, especially during market days, where they have, you know, vegetable selling, there's creative crafts, local businesses, food trucks, lots of different things for kind of all ages and all parts of the community. So I find that that's a generally good gathering space during the summer that I thought of as a creative use of space.
Yeah, so that's a really great example of how you can use one space for many different things to suit many different needs. And the playground Acacia referred to is one of the Jumpstart Canadian Tire funded playgrounds. And it's really, you're right, it's really, really popular. And Misha's just added, there's a trail that connects our airport in Whitehorse, which is higher up to downtown. And they put some stairs in just because you couldn't walk up the clay cliffs. But people use it for boot camp, for activities, for programming, like for doing stair exercises. They're really popular for that. So, you know, you can take a trail and you can convert it into something that's pretty popular. Thanks, Misha. Holly, how about yourself? Do you have any local examples of how you guys creatively use your spaces or places?
Yeah, so currently our ice arena is currently, like, it's not the best to use, but we do use it for archery every now and then. And then we also have used it in the past as like a bicycle obstacle course where we build an obstacle and the kids can go through their bikes. Another one we did was, well, it wasn't exactly us, but we partnered up with one of the local stores here and we opened a community garden. We took an empty lot, we cleared it out of the brush, and then a year later we started building the garden. And so this year I'm hoping we can make a little more of it and make it a little bigger and expand it, or do a gardening lesson so we can teach people how to garden at home and to do it at home. Yeah,
and community gardening is a great way to bring people together. It gets them outdoors, but then it also involves them in something that maybe is a little bit active, but it's not like they have to go for a run or hike or anything like that. So thanks, Holly. Misha, did you want to jump in before we go to Dawn? I see you got your hand up.
Yeah, actually, I was going to mention maybe how this might be better to message you, Holly, but if you have any interest with the engaging youth, that's what the Arctic Inspiration Prize that I applied for was about. So maybe I should get your contact.
And you guys can find each other in the learning event. When you're in the learning event, if you click participants, and you can find each other's emails that are shared that way, too. Or you can use a private chat right now and send your phone number or something. So it's great to connect and have those ideas because Misha's project is across all three territories, right? So it's across the north. Thanks. Dawn, you've gone to many different communities. Do you have an example that you think is a really cool one of the creative use of spaces and places?
Before we do that, I just want to ask Misha something. Sorry. Misha, that AIP prize, is that for a youth initiative? Is it for one of the larger ones?
It's for the youth one. We called it the Youth Coalition for Food Security North.
Okay, because I'm sort of, if they win, I'm on a roundabout management thing with one of the $1 million ones, so, and it's youth. So I just wondered if that was you.
Yeah, I actually saw that there was two youth food projects. So, like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, there's another contact.
Yeah. I think so. Going back to Caroline's story, to the question, probably one of the challenges in most of the communities in Nunavut is we have one facility. And a lot of communities can't access the gyms, so everything's run out of the community hall. I'm going to suggest one of the things that was really neat in the community hall, actually this past fall in Kugluktuk, is I was up there in September doing some work with them, and they set a goal to run this really big kind of indoor Halloween maze. And so they used that community hall to set it up, and there was all different kind of, not departments, but like areas of the hall that were little games and activities that probably some would have been outside or in other facilities if they had them, but they had to compromise and bring everything into one. There's a name for what the activity was. I can't remember offhand. That's probably one of the ones that I would think of right now in the sense that they had to become creative because to run what they were planning to do, they needed the arenas, they needed a couple other facilities to do a joint thing, and like I said, they had one, and so they used that. But definitely, as I said, in Nunavut, most of the communities have one facility and they don't have any access to gyms, so everything becomes a multi-use facility. Day camps sometimes run into the lobby and the arenas because there's no other spaces. So you make the best of what you have and you use it for everything.
Yeah. And that comes back to Igor's example of, you know, even when you have an emergency in your community, it can be good to know that you can set up a variety of different recreation things in one space, right? So that can be really great as well. Thanks, everybody. Let's take a look at a couple of the examples then that are on the slides. So the slides specifically 11 to 15, I used to share some examples, so I'll just scroll ahead to that. So some of the examples, I've tried to pick all mostly northern ones, but in Yellowknife, there's kind of a cool story about Bristol Pit, and it was converted into a snowboard park, and they're currently making a movie about it, which is really neat. So I'm hoping to be able to share that once it's made. And then in Calgary, I like this one. Like, this is kind of a cool example. I'm not sure how it works with liability. But in Calgary, they took old junk, like you can see on the slide perhaps here, old oil barrels and things like that, and they turned it into a mobile adventure playground. And so what that does is it means maybe they have a truck or something and they take it from one place in their community to another, because obviously Calgary is pretty big. But if you're interested in creating a playground with old junk, Alberta Rec and Parks Association has a guide on creating a mobile playground, and it's listed or linked in the Explore More section. So it might be, you know, that's a one way of looking at playgrounds too if you can't afford the equipment. In Inuvik, this is an older story, so you've probably heard this one before, but an old swimming pool was converted into a greenhouse. And in Whitehorse, the example on the left of the slide, that's my granddaughter from last summer. They shut down one of the streets and created a kind of fun pedestrian place. And then this is another really neat story. If you get a chance, there's a bunch of YouTube videos about this. Everywhere across Canada, people use outdoor rinks because obviously hockey is our winter sport, and outdoor rinks let people of all ages and abilities play hockey at all times of the day. And actually, the guy who made this movie, he's the first non-person who's not from the United States to win an award for this movie with their outdoor magazine. So it's kind of cool. He's a Canadian and he won an award for it. So the examples that we've shared are designed to sort of help you think outside the box or the arena or pool, so to speak. Hockey, as you know, doesn't always have to take place in an arena. And as those you've shared with us, like Igor's example and Holly's example, we can also use arenas for much more than hockey or skating. And April's just explained that your old curling rink, and I know curling rinks were usually built about 40 years ago, so a lot of them are getting sort of condemned or not good for curling anymore. So you converted that to a space for everyone to use for gatherings. Oh, and you're putting a weight room, like a gym in there, and an indoor playground. So that's really exciting. It'll be nice to see some pictures of that, April, when that's all done. So before I go on, I've got another question for you, and I might need to explain this one a little bit more. And if I jump two people ahead, It's going to put April, it's going to put you on the spot, but again, you're also very welcome to pass the buck on to Acacia. So the question is, what are the benefits of activating our communities and neighborhoods? And what I mean by that is by putting things into local spaces where people can get active and come together. So by taking a bunch of old things and getting a corner of the street or an unused lot and building a playground right there where all the kids already play anyways. So when we do that, April, can you think of any benefits to activating our communities and neighborhoods? Again, feel free to pass if you want or pop in the chat. It's up to you. Okay, so April's going to pop in the chat. So, Acacia, can I put you on the spot? The question, I'll repeat it for you, is what are the benefits of activating our communities and neighborhoods? In other words, using our neighborhood or our small spaces where we live and making them into active places where people can come together. Any benefits you can think of?
I think that, like, during the pandemic, it kind of was highlighted that how important those spaces are, because things like small interactions at even the grocery store or a coffee shop, those little small interactions meant a lot to people when they didn't really realize it, and I think until they didn't have it anymore. So that's just like a small micro example of what community spaces do for people. It helps them feel less lonely. It helps them be more active in their community, meet more people. Have somewhere to go that are like, it's like the concept of third spaces as well comes to mind, which is just like there's work and there's home, but what's the third space? It's the community. Anything that doesn't count as work or home is a third space. And as years go on, there's less and less third spaces available to people. And I think it's very important for people to push for those spaces to still exist. Those, hockey rinks or playgrounds or, picnic spaces outside, whatever that may be, those third spaces for people that are free to gather at. I don't think that people, if they want to connect with their community or their friends or their family, should have to pay at a restaurant or, like, those aren't necessarily third spaces because they're businesses, right? Having a third space is something that's free, accessible, and easy to get to.
That's great. I like that explanation of third spaces. I haven't heard that before, and I like that concept because it's like that communal space. So thank you. So we'll go to Holly. Holly, Acacia sort of explained the importance of the social side of it, of bringing people together. Are there any other benefits that you can think of when we create those spaces in and around where we live, but not our homes and not our workplaces?
Yeah, I think it benefits people in a way where they can be social, they can decompress, they don't have to deal with work or things at home. I'm not saying it's always okay to push those things off, but it's a place for them to go and decompress and talk to a friend and, let everything they need to get off their chest. And I think that's very important, especially the mental health aspect of recreation work. So I definitely think having that third space, as Acacia said, is very important.
Thanks. And you're introducing the mental health benefits, I think, is really critical, too, because and it also makes me think that those third spaces, like what you and Acacia are talking about, are spaces where you can choose to go. You don't have to go at a certain time, and you can choose to be there or not, right? So that also comes into our mental health, our mental well-being. So thank you, Holly. Dawn, any thoughts around the benefits of activating our communities and neighborhoods? Anything that hasn't been mentioned?
I had a couple things that were already mentioned already, but one other thing is that it actually it increases the opportunity to host different things or have different things going on. And I'll refer back, for example, to a lot of communities in Nunavut. If you have an outdoor rink, for example, things can go on. People can be there all the time, whether it's for hockey, broomball, skating, just hanging out, where they may not have another place. We have, I think there's four or five communities right now where the arenas are shut down. They've been shut down for a number of years. So if you have another outdoor space, you can use it for more activities. And it doesn't have to be formal activities even. And I think the other thing was in lines with accessibility. If something is down the street from you, you're more apt to go to it instead of having to drive 20 minutes or 30 minutes, or you know, if you're walking 20 minutes, you could talk yourself out of going. But if it's down the street, it only takes a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes. You're more apt to commit yourself to going to an activity or whatever. So, but yeah, those are a couple of things I had. But I also had what I think Anisha, and I can't know if I don't know if I'm gonna pronounce the name right. Anisha.
Acacia. Yeah.
Acacia. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Sorry about that.
Thanks, Dawn. Igor, anything to add? I know sometimes as we get to the end of the circle, it gets harder to, because people have sort of shared what you think. But is there anything else you can think of with regards to the benefits of activating communities and neighborhoods?
I would say that more places means more choices. So if we have more places and more activities, and people will be involved, and as Holly mentioned, it's great for the social aspect. It is great for their health, and I think that's how we build stronger communities. Also, when there is a new place, everyone is excited. If we repurpose some of the places, and sometimes people are excited for that new place, and they go there, and then that's how we build that desire to be active and to stay active.
Yeah, and I think it also helps people connect, right? Like you said, if they're excited about something, then maybe they're also more inclined to go and organize some things or volunteer too. So thanks, Igor. Anisha, any thoughts to add to what's been already said about the benefits of activating our communities and neighborhoods?
I actually do, but for more of like it, because I think everybody does a good job in talking about the benefits on like the participants' end. But I think like administrative wise, being able to use spaces like in different ways is a lot more cost effective, and especially like budgets can be like getting funding can be difficult sometimes. So it's just a nice way of like. Yeah, like Igor said, offering more experiences for community members, and then that, you know, having, like everybody has said, like, you know, that just links to, like, mental health and, like, togetherness and, like, community development in general, so.
That's great, thanks. Yeah, and April's mentioned that, the connecting people and feeling of belonging, and the other thing that I jotted down while you guys were sharing is, that also when you use those little spaces that are maybe not your work, not your home, but they're the in-between spaces, there's often no cost for people to participate. So there's not like, oh, I can't afford to take my kids to the swimming pool, or I can't afford to buy them skates for the arena or something like that. Like it's that also makes it a bit more accessible. So I think there's lots of good reasons for doing that. So let's go back to the slides here. And I'm going to backtrack, just I'll explain which one I'm on. So, Acacia, I know you can just hear me rather than see, so this should help. I'm going to backtrack to slide number 9, where it explains placemaking, or where placemaking is introduced. And so placemaking is kind of what we've been talking about. To me, placemaking is similar to the concept of creatively using our spaces and places. And it's really about looking for those special or underused areas in and around our communities that can be converted or enhanced for recreation, arts, culture, as get-togethers, for physical activity. And on the slide here, I have a picture of the Kwanlundun First Nation fire pit. And to me, I think that's a really cool example of placemaking, because it's a cultural gathering place for casual and ceremonial occasions, but it also serves on a day-to-day place, on a day-to-day basis for people to sit down and relax and enjoy the view and chat. Some of you might know that the Canadian Parks and Rec Association, or CPRA, has just recently launched a resource called Activate Your Neighborhood, and that's explained on slide number 10. And what this resource suggests is that there's different strategies, tactics, tools, whatever you want to call those things, that can help you improve and almost repurpose some of the spaces in and around your community. And that helps you make your communities more livable and active. So I know it uses the word neighborhood, and to me that's a bit of a strange word for us to use in our small communities up north. But you can think of a neighborhood simply as a smaller community within a bigger community. So many of the suggestions that are in this resource, you can adapt or use for rural, remote, and northern communities. And so now I'm going to ask you a little bit more of a broader question. And let's see, the last one was April, so this is going to bring us back to Holly. And let me pop the question in the chat and explain it first, and I'll stop presenting. So, and again, feel free to jump in, weigh in, pop in the chat, or pass if you prefer to listen. So why are these sort of concepts about repurposing our spaces, making them creative, or placemaking, why are they really important to us in recreation today? Any thoughts about that, Holly?
I think it's very important because they were once invested to and then later on closed or condemned. They are no longer in use, and I think it'd be very beneficial to reinvest back into it, to reinvest to, I don't know what I'm saying, just to fix up the place, you know, and also just to have a place to go, I guess, a place of sense of belonging. I'm not too sure what to say. Okay.
I think you answered it well, though. I heard you say is that it helps us maybe take pride in the communities that we live in too, right? Because if we have rundown places that are shut down or boarded up or lots that are, you know, you can't go on it because it's not safe, by sort of creating those spaces, improving what we have, it helps people feel good about their community and where they live. Is that sort of what?
Yeah, you said it perfectly.
Thanks, Holly. Dawn, any thoughts about why these concepts like placemaking are really important to our recreation sector today?
I think a lot of the current spaces we have, facilities, are starting to get older. Some of them have aged out. So if we have other places where we can host activities and, you know, whether it's out, like out, we'll talk about right now, outdoors and that sort of thing. It's a good alternative. It's a good alternative space, and it allows you to still continue to host different activities, whether they're formal or informal. Because not hosting things and not getting your community active and involved in doing something is not a good option. Then we have other issues. So that's my thing, is just, we can't always replace or rebuild what we need to right now, but if there's other options for us to use nature and outdoors or different spaces right now to provide, you know, programs or activities that maybe they weren't initially thought of, it allows us to keep things going.
Thanks, Dawn. That's great. Yeah, very important. And there's only so much money to go around, so... Igor, any thoughts about why these concepts, such as placemaking or being creative with our places and spaces, are really important to our sector today?
I will connect that with the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association's vision, which aligns that their vision and our vision is to support healthy nature and also healthy people in harmony for generations, and then for mutual respect and collective actions. And that's how that is very important for the recreation sector and also for the entire, not sector, but for the entire community throughout our country that that deals with parks and recreation.
Thanks, Igor. It's nice to be able to connect things from a local level to a national level, because sometimes we get funding that comes down from a national level, and if we understand those connections, helps us access sources of support too. So thank you. Nisha, any thoughts to add to what's already been said about why concepts such as placemaking are important to us today in recreation?
Yeah, I just put it in the chat.
Yeah.
But I said, yeah, people make memories in those places, and it's important to kind of not repurpose, but just keep like supporting that. Like, for example, there might be some kind of, I don't know, building or at the garden. I remember when I worked in Beaver Creek at the community garden, people would talk about what it was like 10 years ago. And that was obviously an important spot. So kind of reinvesting and putting some love and attention into that made people come out and kind of talk about those memories and, you know, have that nostalgia, which is really important, build some new memories. And then also just like environmentally speaking, having like being able to utilize things within the capacity that we have, whether it's funding, but also just like in our spaces, is also really great. So.
Yeah, that's a lot of reasons. So, and that's good. And I like how you explain that people might have some sort of important connection to some of these spaces going back. And in small communities, I don't know about you guys, but my experience in small communities, people don't forget things. So they're good at remembering. So good point. Thanks, Misha. April, I'm wondering, I see you posted in the chat, like it gives you access to run different programs if you don't have the space, and then you can transform the place for new programs and projects. So yeah, that's great. Thank you, April. And Acacia, any other thoughts to add to why this concept of placemaking is important? And you do work with that population that of seniors and elders that remember things. So
yeah, I think that there's like I often talk to the members who are older than me, and their memories of this place is very different than my memories of it. And then I remember having a conversation recently with someone saying, you know, kids these days, I mean, I know it's a funny phrase, but like kids these days are not given access to as many third spaces or as much freedom as previous generations. You know, like there's the whole latchkey kid concept where kids are told to go play at the park or go play by the river or whatever, go explore in the woods, whatever, make forts, that kind of thing outside. There was a lot of play and the importance of play outside that doesn't maybe exist in the same way today. And they said something like, oh, you know, parents are more paranoid about letting their kids go play outside unsupervised and that kind of thing. And I'm not really sure what the correct answer is, but I think there is something to be said about there's benefits to not only like older folks, but kids to have access to play areas that maybe don't exist in the same way. Like maybe there's something to be learned from the past of the access to just go out and play. And now it's like, oh, this is a restricted area, or you can't let your kids go out, or all these things. There needs to be replacement. So it's not just kids playing online or kids playing video games. And there's nothing necessarily all wrong about playing indoors, but I think that there's interesting conversations to be had about the third space of playing outdoors.
Yeah, I think especially like if you think about children, right, like it builds their social skills, it builds their sort of ability to navigate spaces that aren't in their house or their school and get along with different people. And you know, maybe part of the answer is that if we don't have safe places for our kids to go, if we don't make sure that those spaces are safe, like whether it's the woods or whatever, then there's a fear from parents. So, you know, sometimes it's also perhaps making space for parents or seniors or elders to come in and sit and engage in that area too. So thank you very much for sharing. I think it's a really, we probably could talk longer about this. I think it's a really interesting sort of concept, and it's one that, you know, I want to think a little bit more about, because I want to be, personally, I sort of value being a little lighter on our planet, not spending a lot of money like sometimes our governments seem to spend, and being a bit more aware of doing things that really are good for people's sense of belonging, like April and Acacia have mentioned, and mental health, like Holly's mentioned. So thank you. And so as you can see, I think, you know, like some of the past 4 or 5 years is forced us a little bit to think outside the box. So we had a lot of public health restrictions put in place as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Many of our recreation spaces and places were shut down, and our programming was shut down as well. And so we did have to be more creative in how we provided recreation. And if you think now with our inflation and how hard it is for people to pay for basic needs like food and housing, it's really important to make sure that we have recreation as an essential service that supports people's health and well-being in a way that doesn't cost them a lot of money, doesn't take away from their food allotment for the week. And so I think it's our role as recreation leaders in our communities for us to be creative, but also to encourage the people, whether it's your SAO, your mayor and council, your chief and council, the people who are making decisions about those communities, to be creative and to be smart so that we can continue providing quality recreation that really enriches people's lives. And I have a hard time. Misha was in CarMax for a bit, and CarMax was an example. What was the arena, brand new arena, $28, $29 million, and no tax base to cover the cost for operating it. So it's, you know, that's a lot of money that you could put into designing a lot of spaces where people could go and do other things, right? Or providing outdoor rinks and stuff like that. So just something for you guys to think about. That's kind of my philosophical.
Yeah, we started on that arena.
My jet-lagged brain talking, I guess. But so I'd like to thank you. We're actually wrapping up a bit early because we have fewer people than usual, but sometimes I really value these smaller conversations and calls because it's nice to hear your ideas. So thank you very much for joining today and for your contribution. And there is an RLA, which is Required Learning Activity, due on Sunday. And I think most of you on the call are caught up with all your other ones from your other learning events. If you're not, if you can try and work to catch up, because it does get harder as summer comes on. But so for your RLA, what I'd like you to do is reimagine a space or place in your community. And tell us, and you can use pictures. You don't have to use words. You can do an audio recording. You can take a video. You can draw a picture. Tell us where that space is, what you might do, who would be involved, and who would participate. And so have fun, be creative, and if you have any questions, stay on the line after the conference call, and I will be back and be a bit more regular on my email and things like that as of tonight. So Guanashish, that's thank you in Southern Shoshone, and I'm just going to stop the call recording, but have a great rest of your day, and stay on the line if you have any questions.